Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome to another edition of the Your Community Podcast as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and today we're shining the spotlight on a brand new pilot program. It's called the Community Vitality Program through Purdue Extension. And on today's podcast, we have not one, but two special guests. Our first guest is Jeff Walker. He's the Community Vitality Specialist with Purdue Extension's Community Development. And our second guest is Michael Wilcox. He's the Assistant Director and Program Leader for Community Development with Purdue Extension. And we'll start with you, Jeff. When talking about the Community Vitality Program through Purdue Extension, what is the Community Vitality Program through Purdue Extension?
That's a great question, CJ, and thanks for having us on today to share more about the Community Vitality Program. We're very excited about it. So I'll start with what is Community Vitality. I think that's a good place in this conversation to set some groundwork. And Community Vitality is really this idea of how do we describe the methods and process and bring those into action to help build strong communities where all individuals can thrive. And so we're looking specifically in our work in Purdue Extension Community Development, when we talk about community vitality, at how do we help communities create places where there are economic opportunity, where individuals and families have great health and are socially connected to each other and have a sense of well-being, where their natural resources are being stewarded well and put to productive use, and then also where new leaders are being brought into the fold and all people have a chance to shape their community and lead in the community. So that's a high-level look at how we're working with the term community vitality and what that means for folks who are listening on today's call and in the audience. Our community vitality program in particular is going to be a partnership opportunity that we're developing to work with communities in an intentional process that will last about a year long. That process will be open for communities to kind of put their hand up in the air and to say, we're interested and we want to apply for this in early 2026. We'll be rolling the information out about that through different methods and on our website in January and February of 2026. In the first round, as you mentioned, this is a pilot program. We're going to be working with 10 counties in particular where we'll be able to accept applications. And those counties are going to be Benton, Blackford, Delaware, Fountain, Henry, Jay, Randolph, Tippecanoe, Warren, Wayne, and Wayne counties. And what we're looking for in this partnership, what we're hoping to work with communities on, is to bring evidence-based resources and education to their community planning efforts and how they bring people into a room together and set goals and make plans as a community, and then bringing those resources again after they've made a plan to work together to help them act on some of those initial wins that they want to get and projects they might want to implement in the community and education they want to provide. All as part of a neat, tidy package that brings Purdue Extension's resources and community development, health and human sciences, and also 4-H and A&R, Ag and Natural Resources, all together in this really tight partnership over a year-long process. So that's the high-level take and what we're hoping to roll out next year. We'll also be doing a small mini-grant program across the rest of the state, the other 82 counties that I did not mention, because we want this opportunity and the work that we do to have impact across all of Indiana. And after the pilot's completed in this first year, we'll be rolling out the Community Vitality Program to be accessible and have a pathway into that for the communities across the state. So I love sharing about it. We're super excited about what's ahead with the program.
And Dr. Wilcox, I know that this particular program, now this podcast is airing after the first of the year. It's early January here now, but tell me, Dr. Wilcox, you were the one who helped launch this program and got this program started. Tell me how you got the ball rolling to develop this new community vitality program and the effort that it took to get it going and started here as of early January.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. It is really a dream come true. It started with a phone call out of the blue from a 317 number that I didn't know. And normally I just let those go to voicemail, but for some reason I was compelled to answer the call. And on the other end of the line was a lawyer from Indy who I didn't know. He introduced himself and said that he was acting on behalf of a family foundation, which went unnamed. And he said that they had been very interested in our community development program and the things that we were doing across the state. And they were interested in potentially funding some efforts related to community development. We tried to set up a meeting and we wound up meeting in December. So this was March and December of 2024, Angie Abbott, our extension director, and myself as program leader, we went down to meet the trustees of the Downing Family Foundation. And it was during that 2-hour meeting that Angie and I had the opportunity to talk to the trustees and help them better understand what Purdue Extension does. And, it was great. You know, Purdue Extension sometimes is called the best kept secret. And in this case, one of the trustees was like, I know a little bit about extension. And when I think about extension, I think about apple pies, like someone making apple pies. And I was like, well, we help with that, but it starts with the soil sample to determine where the orchard ought to go. And it goes all the way through raising the apples, creating a great recipe for pies, marketing those pies, dealing with the food safety aspects of that. And I just walk them through all that Purdue Extension does, as my father-in-law says, from soup to nuts. And it blew their minds that Purdue Extension works in all the different levels, from the conceptualization of an idea all the way through implementation of it. And so this really generated a lot of interest amongst the trustees of the Downing Family Foundation and ultimately led to their creating a $5 million endowment that will provide resources for community vitality in perpetuity, which was just, these things don't happen. And so for this to happen just was a miracle of miracles, if you will. And interestingly, the Downings both worked for Eli Lilly and knew Eli Lilly and were friends with Eli Lilly. And Eli Lilly's vision for the community foundations led them to initially fund the community foundations, a lot of different projects. And they found some of the most successful ones were ones where the community foundation then funded Purdue Extension. And that's what led them to want to fund Purdue Extension directly for community vitality. And I think community vitality spoke to them because the story they told me was every time they ventured out in Indiana into the hinterlands of Indiana and rural Indiana, they saw communities that had so much potential, but there were communities that were really struggling. And they want this to address some of the issues that rural Indiana is working with. That's not to say we can't work in urban Indiana as well. We absolutely can with this program. But in particular, the stories they were telling us were how can we get these communities to a point where when we drive through, we see them thriving rather than surviving. And this program is one step in that direction. We're excited to do this in perpetuity.
Absolutely. Once again, our guest, Jeff Walker, Community Vitality Specialist with Purdue Extension. Also, Michael Wilcox, Assistant Director and Program Leader for Community Development with Purdue Extension. And Jeff, I'll pivot back to you because you mentioned those 10 counties and those areas roughly near the Lafayette area, also near Muncie and the Richmond areas. And so I'm curious, just to paint a broad brush, what are some of the projects or what are some of the goals that you and your team are looking to put into place initially as part of this program, this pilot program in those 10 counties that you mentioned earlier?
That's a great question, CJ. So our vision with the Community Vitality Program is that once communities kind of raise their hand, they apply, we'll have a selection process, and there will be a couple of communities chosen in the pilot year that we'll work with. They'll have access to some programs on the front end that we are calling our capacity building phase. So those programs will involve enhancing the value of public spaces and some of our other offerings. And enhancing the value of public spaces is a program in community development and extension that really works on bringing the community together to envision how they can create an action plan and act on different ideas that they have to make their community a stronger place and make it a place where people can thrive. And then once that action place is created, once we've developed that plan with the communities we're partnering with, we'll still be alongside them. That plan won't just sit there. And I know that's a common worry when communities go into a planning process is that it's just going to collect dust on a shelf. And the virtue, and one of the virtues of this program that we're developing is that when we get to that stage, we're going to be alongside communities. Myself as community vitality specialist and other extension professionals will be helping coach that community in that part of the state through what are connections that you can make to help accomplish some of these things. Maybe what are the things that you need to take a step back on and consider a tactic or a strategy that'd be really effective in this context and what you're trying to accomplish. To give you some more ideas about the specific goals, because I know I've been vague about that so far, we're really looking at things that help the community create economic opportunities, both for the community as a whole, so creating opportunities for people to have a strong livelihood in the place where they live and make a living, but also looking at financial well-being at the individual and household level. So if a community's interested perhaps in having some financial literacy education combined with other programs or community financial resilience groups or things like that that kind of partner together or working with township trustees, that could be one way of encapsulating that idea. The next idea or thematic area, as we've been calling them, is health and wellness. So looking at how the community might be able to enact some education in a project that helps people create better health outcomes in their own lives and for their neighbors. One really common program we're seeing a lot in Indiana right now is food as medicine or food is medicine programs, where there's nutrition and health education tied also to food preparation, education with food being available to help people test and try things out and learn new ways of eating in their household. There are many, many other examples in that health and wellness category, as there are for all of our themes or thematic areas. That's one. Some of our other thematic areas are community planning and environmental stewardship. As folks who are familiar with our community development program area know, we have a lot of resources around planning and different aspects of that in the community and natural resource management. And that might be a topic area that communities want to focus on. We'll also have an area focused on community leadership and organizational leadership. So we have some wonderful programs such as Building Stronger Boards or a program called TASK that helps communities look at how their different organizations are working together on topics related to substance misuse. And those are different ways that the community can look at a big picture level of what are changes we can make to help people manage addictions and substance disorders. And then, or perhaps they're working towards how do we build a stronger board in our nonprofit community, or how do we go after more grants and equip people with skills to do that. And then we also have a fifth thematic area that people can select from. And I should mention, when people are going through the application process and raising their hand, they'll have an opportunity to share which of these topics they're interested in working on. The fifth thematic area is human development and family well-being. So looking at some of our resources across Purdue Extension and community development, also health and human sciences, that they might want to partner on and deliver so that parents feel like they're more confident and have more tools in their tool belt to help when they're working with their kids and raising them and helping them be successful. Or maybe they're looking at ways that grandparents are trying to address the challenges of being caregivers for their grandchildren. And we have the resources for that. And this is an intentional way for communities to both plan and say, this is what we would like to do together. And here are some ideas about how to do that. But then also connecting them all the way through to our resources and extension and other resources that will allow them to carry out that plan. Now, a year is only so long. We can't do everything that a community has envisioned, but we can help them get on a great path. We can work together to start off on the right foot. And usually when that happens, as I've talked about with community partners in past work, one good thing leads to another. And our hope is that in this really intentional partnership, we're helping a community create good things that then lead to more good things going forward. And so that's the look at how communities can work with us in this partnership, what we're hoping to come alongside communities in doing.
Fantastic. We're talking about the Community Vitality Program. It's a brand new program, just kicked off on January 1st. It's also a pilot program. And we're going to talk more with Jeff Walker and Michael Wilcox coming up here in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more on the Your Community Podcast. You're on Hoosier Ag Today.
Show your support for Indiana FFA by attending the Blue and Gold Gala. It's Saturday, February 28th at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood. The evening begins with a cocktail reception and silent auction at 5, dinner at 6, and a live auction to cap off the night. All proceeds benefit Indiana FFA. Join us as we support ag education and career development for Indiana's next generation of ag leaders. For more information and to reserve your seats, visit INFFA.org.
We're back on the Your Community Podcast. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and our guest, Jeff Walker with Community Vitality. He is the specialist for Community Vitality with Purdue Extension Community Development. And we're also chatting with Michael Wilcox. He's the Assistant Director and Program Leader for Community Development with Purdue Extension. And I want to talk about historically, it's interesting because when you look back, Jeff, at the history of how so many of these small towns in rural Indiana popped up. A lot of them popped up because there were railroads that led from one major destination to another. So a lot of towns, small towns in particular, developed and grew organically because you had a railroad, because you had a stop. And maybe in that stop, you had a canning factory, or you had a limestone quarry, or something of that nature. And over time, that community had a post office and a barber shop and maybe a small town grocery store. And over time, we went from railroads to large trucking, and the interstate system maybe went around one area or another and missed that small town community. And so when you drive through some areas of rural Indiana that are off the beaten path, and I hate to use that term, but they're away from a major interstate, because it seems like many of those towns that were lucky enough to be near a major interstate, I-69, I-70, 74, 65, those continue to thrive and even grow even further here over the course of the past 55, 60 years. But those other towns that were missed by the interstate system that went up in the 1960s and early 70s, we've seen so many of those communities just shrink because the canning factory shut down a long time ago. The post office went out of, was shut down as well. And you still have folks and homes and churches and maybe cemeteries in those communities, but they're not thriving like they once did. And I'm sure that that's a major piece of what this program is looking to serve long term, Jeff.
CJ, that's a great point to bring up, and it's true. As the world changes, communities have to adjust and adapt and change with it, and that brings a lot of very complicated situations to navigate and figure out. As you were sharing, I was thinking about the community where I live in, just to share personally, in southeastern Indiana, in a place that people might consider off the beaten path, a place that had railroad connections and still does to an extent, but has been bypassed by the interstate system. So I'm down in Jennings County, living in the Vernon and North Vernon area. And so this is both a topic that's personally really relevant and gets me motivated to work hard every day, but also is something that I think about, obviously, in my day job as a community vitality specialist, and that I'm really passionate about. So I think as communities are thinking through that situation, and as we're thinking through that situation with the Community Vitality Program coming up, one of the big things that we always focus on when we're working with communities is this idea of asset-based community development. So as you were talking, you were listing post office, a railroad connection, an employer, a large employer through manufacturing and other resources. And those resources didn't all come all at once. Like you mentioned, they built one at a time, little by little on top of each other. And I think that's the frame that we need to take when we're working with communities that are thinking about their future and how to chart a new future and a thriving future. It's a process of looking at, these are the assets that we currently have, because let's be clear, every community in Indiana and across the state has assets and resources to build on. And they also have people who are passionate about those places. It's one of the wonderful things about Indiana and about the people who call this great state home is that we have folks who are committed to their places, and it takes that commitment to build a great place. So even if folks have this idea that perhaps their community has been bypassed, that's just one part of the community story. It's not the entire story. And so this asset-based community development idea is this part of that story where a community says intentionally, here's where we're at. Here are all of the different assets and resources we have. And it's not just financial, it's natural. It's the built environment. Maybe they have an old downtown Main Street area, or maybe they have a really beautiful natural area or a county park. And those are resources they have. They also have employers that they can work with. They have local leadership in those communities that are committed to that place. And once you start putting those pieces together in a thoughtful way and you bring the community into planning how to use all those resources, they can start adding piece by piece the new assets that are going to allow them to chart their course. And that's this whole idea of community vitality writ large. It's that the community is pulling everything they have together. They're pulling everyone, all people in the community in the room. They're saying, this is what we want to accomplish together. Here's what we have to do that. And then bit by bit, building that up so that they can choose the future for the community. Now, that's obviously really hard. We can't ignore the realities of how things change, where investment happens. But communities have agency. They have a choice in how that happens. They have to take the step little by little to build on that and raise their hand and say, we're here, we're committed to our community, and we're building a stronger tomorrow for the people in our community. And that's how, in community vitality, we're approaching what you're talking about. I love that question. And Michael, I don't know if you want to share any more on that topic, because I know this has been the passion of your career and the reason that led you to creating the Community Vitality Program in the first place.
I'll just simply say that, Jeff, when I love what Jeff had to say, and I love how you presented it to CJ. We were very intentional about the thematic areas that we chose. And I think as Jeff was listing them, hopefully all of the listeners and the people listening to this podcast recognize that we're taking a community engaged, holistic approach to try to solve some of the issues that communities are facing and try to leverage the assets that they do have and build that confidence and self-worth and capacity in these communities so they can do for themselves. And so community vitality, I think, is a great concept for them to build these plans around, as well as the projects that they'll be developing and then executing those. And so it's all about building capacity, showing, helping folks and walking hand in hand with them in a very engaged partnership-like way so communities can move forward. And yeah, even the most off the beaten path communities have assets. I remember we were in a very small community in Harrison County, literally no stoplight, but there was a four-way stop. And that was the center of town, if you will. And we did an asset mapping exercise with them, and I'll never forget it. It was a great moment in my career, was them literally spending an hour going through all the assets that this teeny tiny town had in Harrison County. But we've been to larger communities and we go through the same process, and they can't see the forest for the trees. And we have to really coach them to get out of that deficit mindset and get into a mindset where they do recognize their assets. They do recognize all the different trees that are there, and that those trees then collectively contribute to the forest ecosystem, if you will, if I may use that analogy. So yeah, a community engaged holistic approach, we have found through our applied research, through the literature, and through our own lived experience working with communities for many, many years here in Indiana, is the right way to go. And some communities are ready for that, and some communities need a little bit more TLC. And I think that the Community Vitality Program is poised to work with both types of communities.
Michael, you just used a forest analogy. If I may, I'm going to use a baseball analogy because this particular pilot program, it's not just the first inning of the ball game. We're talking the first batter has just walked up to the plate. And so the pitcher is winding up. That's how this program, we're in the early stages of the community vitality program. And so a lot of communities, no doubt, a lot of folks in those communities are watching this podcast and maybe thinking, how can we get in touch with Michael? How can we get in touch with Jeff? How can we best advance our local community here in our neck of the woods? In one of those 10 counties that you mentioned earlier, with certainly the goal to expand to all 92 counties. Yeah. But if someone listening in one of those 10 counties would like some more information or would like to get the ball rolling on perhaps submitting an application to have Jeff, you and your team, Michael, you and your team come to their community, go through their list of assets like you did in Harrison County and figure out how Purdue Extension and the Community Vitality Program can best advance their community. How can they get a hold of you, Jeff? How can they get a hold of you, Michael? I'll start with you, Jeff. How can they get a hold of you and your team to get the ball rolling?
Thanks for asking. So they can reach out to me personally by email, and we will also have or by phone. And we can also share the webpage where we're going to be giving updates about the Community Vitality Program for communities. So my email is jeffwalker@purdue.edu. For anyone listening today, we can have that in text in the notes to make sure that everyone's got that down correctly. But it's just jeffwalker@purdue.edu. And we're happy to take individual inquiries for the actual application process so that communities know what to look out for. Like I said, we'll be sharing updates on our website about community vitality. We'll also be pushing this out through different partners. Thank you for pulling that up on the screen. Love to see that. As you'll notice right now, the webpage is quite simple. It has Michael and I's contact information by email as well, but we'll be sharing updates about the program. You'll see in February, at the beginning of February, is the letter of intent and application process. So for the Community Vitality Program, we'll ask communities to submit a short letter of intent with some basic information about their community and what they're interested in focusing on in those thematic areas and their questions that they might have for us. And we'll have about a 2 or 3 week window where we'll be able to work with the communities that submit the letter of intent and say, okay, this is great. Do you have any questions for us? Do you need any assistance in putting together the full application? Here's information that you might want. And we'll have a webinar where people can get more information for the full application. And then later on at the end of February, that letter of intent will be due. And then in the March timeframe, the full application will be due. And that will be when communities submit the whole list of who's involved with the team that wants to work on this project in their community. What are they excited about working on? What do we need to know about past efforts that have been going on and all those things? We're really looking at, is a community, are they at a level of community readiness where they want to work and are able to work on community vitality? Are they able to bring a strong team to the game that you're talking about? Are they able to list, just in brief, we'll go through it in more detail, but we'll ask, what are some assets that you're proud of in your community that you think can be focused on this topic? And questions along those lines. So it's a bit different than a typical maybe grant application where a community has a very specific budget and project laid out. In this case, we're asking, are you ready to work on this? What do you want to work on? What resources are you ready to bring and the team that you want to bring along? And is that a good fit for all the resources that we have to offer through Purdue Extension to work together and partner? And so that will be due in the March timeframe. And then we're going to be ready to work with communities and let communities know who's been selected sometime in early April to mid-April, and then work from there for the year-long process into April of 2027. So that's going to be the way that communities can really signal to us in a formal way, especially in those 10 counties in the pilot year. This is, we want to be involved in this here's what we're bringing to the table and hope to work on and partner with you in. And then, of course, once we finish up the pilot and roll this out to the whole state, that will be open to a much wider audience. And we'll be very excited to see those responses as well, and also be able to bring ideas that the communities we've worked in the pilot have created and put to the test and implemented. We'll be able to share those with future cohorts of the program and just continue to build on the momentum, not just in the communities that are part of the program, but communities in the future that want to be part of the program and see great ideas. And we'll be able to share those out as well. So that's a pretty long-winded answer to your question, CJ, but they can look on the website, they can get in touch with us by email, and we would love to see many, many communities raise their hand with the letter of intent and the application process.
Absolutely. In fact, the website I have here, extension.purdue.edu/vitality, and which we will also have a link at HoosierAgToday.com. If worst comes to worst, what you can do is go to Google and just type in Purdue Community Vitality. No doubt it will also bring up this same link, which also shares your information, Jeff, your information, Michael. And no doubt we'll look forward to circling back around at a later date once the program is in full speed, and you can share with us some examples of some success stories of building communities across those 10 counties with the hopes then of the expansion of the pilot program. And I always ask this question at the end of the podcast. Jeff, Michael, I'll start with you. Jeff, anything that I've forgotten to ask or that you'd like to include as part of our conversation about the Community Vitality Program? Jeff?
I think we've covered a lot of the high points for the conversation. I just want to emphasize the bigger picture idea here, that every community, as Michael mentioned, has assets and resources that they can put to good use in creating a great place and a strong community and a place where all people can thrive. That's really the heart of community vitality work, is that communities have a choice about their future. They can work towards making their community a really wonderful place or improving on the things that they love about it that are already there. And they can also make it a place where all people have an opportunity to really thrive, have really tight-knit relationships and healthy lives and good livelihoods and connected families. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to work on this. I have talked with people as we've been setting this program up and thinking about what the future holds with the Community Vitality Program. It's not every day that you get to work with communities and bring resources to the fore and help kickstart a positive trajectory. And that's not, it's not something that everyone gets to be involved in. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to partner with communities on, because communities have the resources and they have great ideas and they have passionate people. And we want to be a strong partner for them through the Community Vitality Program.
Michael, I'll ask you the same question. Anything else that you'd like to add or include?
Yeah, if I may add, on our website, we have that photo there, and we were very intentional about choosing that photo. That photo was taken in Connersville earlier this year at the grand opening of the Second Street Park. And I've written extensively about this. This project started in 2014 when I first landed in Connersville, started working with our local Purdue Extension office. And ultimately in 2025, the park was built. But I think this is our inspiration for the Community Vitality Program, is that park. It is downtown. It's in a neighborhood that has very limited resources. It's right on the railroad tracks. And when I first got there, quite honestly, that park was completely dilapidated. Dogs were using it to ease themselves, and kids were not playing on the rusty equipment that was there. And it's right next to the train that brings so much economic development to the community and pride to the community. And so we set forth to work with our extension professionals there, as well as locals. And we formed a lot of different partnerships. And over the years, we looked at a lot of data, and we talked to a lot of people, and we went through a very intentional planning process with experts from Purdue in health and human sciences and landscape architecture and community development and agricultural economics, you name it, took a very holistic approach. And finally, over several years, we began to get the momentum needed in order to realize this. And eventually we wound up sending a busload of students from Purdue in landscape architecture, and they wound up interviewing folks that were interested in reviving the park. They provided, they developed designs, and we brought community members from Connersville all the way to Purdue so the students could present those designs. The community weighed in on what they wanted, and they wound up creating the concept that was wound up being implemented there in the community. And so now they have a vibrant space for kids to come and play and parents to, commiserate together and enjoy that that community, as well as visitors from the outside showing up and seeing Connersville put their best foot forward and doing something that that couldn't have been done without the community coming together. And quite honestly, without the technical expertise that Purdue Extension brought to the table to make that happen. It's a great story. I've written a bit about it, and really it provides the inspiration for us to replicate what we learned there in other places across the state. And so we're really excited about this program, looking forward to working across the state, promoting community vitality, offering opportunities for our students to give back to the communities that they're from, offering opportunities for faculty and staff to be engaged in communities across the state and really help communities reach the potential that we know that they have. So super excited to do this and excited to work with our Purdue Extension team to make this happen.
Absolutely. Once again, Jeff Walker, Community Vitality Specialist with Purdue Extension Community Development. And I'm going to call you Dr. Wilcox. I know you said, just call me Michael. Dr. Michael Wilcox, Assistant Director and Program Leader for Community Development with Purdue Extension. And I'll look forward to circling back around with both of you gentlemen on a later date and time to share some more of those success stories, like the one you just mentioned in Connersville there in Fayette County, about the Community Vitality Program. Of course, website Purdue, or rather extension.purdue.edu/vitality. Jeff, Michael, thank you so much for joining us here today on the Your Community Podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, CJ.
No problem. And thank you as well for joining us here on the Your Community Podcast. Happy New Year from all of us here at Hoosier Ag today. I look forward to joining up with you again next time and here this year.